I'm Kenya 75, also known as Wendy Sanders.
And I'm Jake Duncan. I am Duncan Bilingual over on the Twitters.
And this is Cutting Education, the place where we tell you about all the coolest things in education and all the cool things you can do that with them. And today we're going to talk about some very basic, simple ideas if you're just starting off on your digital journey that you can use that will make your life easy, that will make you more productive, and that will make your class more fun.
Absolutely. I always end up saying, I'm looking forward to this episode. Boy, Kenya, you don't sound super pumped this time. I'm like, yay!
I started off good, didn't I, though? I'm Kenya, like...
This is Kenya 75, and we're here this evening to discuss a few things.
It's that... I'm going for the deep, sultry voice there.
Oh, okay. I was just boring with the more newscaster Midwestern thing. But all right.
Actually, I have a lot more energy than I usually do right now, considering it's so late. We're doing this is later than we usually podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
This is past my bedtime right now. But tomorrow's Friday, so does it really matter?
Tomorrow. Okay, yeah, but none of these things could be true for anybody listening, though.
Well, I know.
Not late at night. It's not, tomorrow's not Friday. They're like, I'm listening to us on a Monday.
Or a Saturday. I'm going to Ed Camp Awesome.
Yeah, people. Yes, so I wanted to do this, and I ask you to do this. I know that you have some teachers that are sort of starting off in your district, too. And you're getting a lot of your classes iPads. You're doing a lot of big things there. But my district will be, and I say this every episode too, we'll be going one-to-one with Chromebooks. And there are a lot of teachers that are, the technology in the classroom is really just completely foreign to them. And I wanted us to be able to take the time to take quite a few steps back from some of the things that we normally talk about. And find or introduce teachers, be able to give them a reference episode for us to share some very simple things. I don't believe that any of these, hopefully none of these, will require any logins, so you won't have to create accounts for anything. You won't have to have your students create accounts. That's not true. The very first one.
Right.
But we wanted to make very, very simple things, and if you've heard a lot about the SAMR model, Ruben Puentedura's SAMR model of technology integration that starts off at the substitution layer, I think that these things would generally fall into that category, but hopefully not necessarily. Hopefully the tool doesn't determine your level of tech integration. These could be augmentation. They could move up that ladder. Or as Greg Garner, Classroom Tech, said in his post, you're just swimming in a different depth of the pool there. So sometimes we want to swim in the shallow end, and sometimes we want to swim in the deep end. We don't always want to be in the deep end. So I think this is really necessary, and I think that a lot of times we've talked about how we do too much.
Right.
We try to take on too many things and use too many different tools, and take this thing and take the picture that you edit with this tool and put it in the background of this other tool and add things on top. And anyway, I think that we just need to learn to use these very, very simple things effectively. And I don't really think that you necessarily need to move on far from these things, that this is a great start. So the first one I think is pretty big, though. it's an all-encompassing one. So I almost think we should have made that the last one, but I'm making it the first one because I'm a big Google person. So it's Google, just Google in general.
The Google. Yes, Google all the things.
Google does everything. I mean, if you have Google Apps or if you don't have Google Apps, if you just use your own Google account, which doesn't have to be created through a Gmail account, it could be created through any email that you have existing, you can create an account for. But if you have a Google Apps for Education domain for your school, then that's all the better. And if your kids have access to that, then really the potential with just Google Apps is unlimited. But where would do you want to say anything about, like, we can start off with Google. I say Google is the place to start for, and this is going to be so hard for you. I'm going to say this and ask you to say things about Google, not Apple, would be the starting place for all things tech integration.
I think in some ways I agree with that. I can partially agree, or maybe I can just agree to disagree. No, I agree with you. I love Google. Like, I really only have used Google for Google Apps for a couple years, and it'll just rock your world. Like, I mean, there's so many things that you can do. You know, we've talked about Google before on the podcast, but there's just so many things that it can do. I mean, and let alone with not even talking about extensions or apps or things that you can add to it, but you know, just having kids. Starting off by having kids like doing their writing in Google, sharing the document with you, or having kids collaborate on different docs, you know, starting a doc on something and then another person might be collaborating with them. It just is so helpful. Last year, our teachers at in our district really were only using it to upload their lesson plans, and really they should be doing them in, you know, in Google Docs. They don't even have to. You can throw away. You don't need to pay money for Microsoft. That's what I love about it, is because I hate Microsoft. But you don't need Microsoft. You don't need it on your computers. You don't need it on any computer that you have, because you can just put it on Google and you never lose it. You never have to worry about your flash drive. You never have to worry about any of that stuff. Like, I think we've talked about this before, I think, on our podcast, that our school in Honduras is using Google Docs. Now, right now, they're having problems with the internet because of the government, but eventually they'll be able to use Google Docs and they'll be able to share and collaborate, and it just blows my mind. You know what I mean? Like, it blows my mind that you can do something like this. And spreadsheets, presentations, everything you can imagine that's on Microsoft.
Okay, so I say we stick with that and give some recommendations for ways to start with Google for people new to tech integration, new to using technology in the classroom, and we just focus on Google Drive.
Okay.
So that's my first, where I would start, is that your district has probably given you a networked folder that is an H drive, an R drive, an S drive, some drive that you can really only access when you are on the school network and you cannot access anywhere else. So the very first thing that I would do is I would go to drive.google.com with my Google login. Or, yes, I'm just going to say go to the website.
Right.
Rather than, because I don't know if you're using Google Chrome, you might be using Internet Explorer. You can open it up in Internet Explorer and go to that. You don't have to make all of these switches at once. I would say to start with, you know, we should start with Google Chrome. But I'm going to say start, we're just going to be using Drive. So that would be where I would start, is I would go and take all of these things that I'm keeping in my networked folder. I would go to Drive and I would upload all of the files that I have, and I would change my settings to convert those to Google Documents, even if there were PowerPoints. And people say not to do that. I've heard people say that you're going to lose all this formatting.
Really?
Oh, well. that formatting probably wasn't important. It's the problem, the issues that you have, is that you're going to lose your audio transitions, or you'll lose your transitions from one slide to the next. You didn't need those anyway. So that's what I would recommend, is to start off with, is to go get all of your files and upload them all at one time. Just leave them, let them go. It'll take a while. But convert them all. So you'd have to go to your settings in Drive. You go to Drive, click on the upload button right next to Create. I hope everything's still in the same place. And then it's going to ask you, the first time you would do that, after you logged into a Google account, do you want to convert these? And you could go ahead and let it stay on Ask Me Every Time. But for the most part, I would go ahead and say convert all of the documents that I upload that are Microsoft Word, Microsoft or Excel, PowerPoints. I would convert them to Google Documents. And the reason I would do that is because they're no longer only accessible on your networked folder that you have at school or through your flash drive that you save them to. They'll now be accessible anywhere that you log into your Google account on any computer anywhere. You'll have access to all of those files, and you can share them with anyone by just clicking on the share button. You can share them with anyone in the world, and you can collaborate with them. That up to 50 people can be editing your document at the same time if you'd allow them, or you can just give certain people access to edit those things. I think that's a huge, just it changes your world if you've been accustomed to using Microsoft Word. Go upload everything Drive, convert them to Google Documents, and then log on to your Google Documents so that you can edit those things from any place. You're never going to have multiple versions of a file. This version on this flash drive is the older one, but it's on my home computer, so I got to move it onto. There's none of that. It's all in the cloud. It's all on the internet so that you can access it and edit it and do anything you'd like to with it at any time. You can also, from there, go allow those to be edited offline, too. So you could turn on your Google Docs offline editing abilities, and then you can edit them from any computer offline. Anytime it comes back to the internet, you get internet again, it's going to update those files. So you'll never need a flash drive again.
Right.
You'll be able to access anything from anywhere. You won't be limited to your school. That's a huge difference for me.
Right.
Let alone all of the stuff for collaboration. I think that's a big difference, and I would start with that for Google.
Can I say something?
Please do, because I was trying to make that my end rant, but...
There it goes. Whoa. Anyway, the other thing I like about it is I really think that it makes you more productive in the way that teachers I know are so used to, hey, I want to share a document with you because we're having Black History Month, so I'm going to share a document with you that we made. And what they do is they upload their Word document or attach their Word document to an email. Then you have to open it, you have to download it or whatever. If they just share it with you, you can go and look at it. You know, you can change the settings so that people can't modify it. Like, I can just make it so people can comment on it. But it just makes it so much easier too. If there's a change that's needed for a certain document, you can just share it with everyone and then they can just change it. They don't have to go back and send you a revised Word document or to me that's the best thing, and it's definitely a transitional change that people have to make. It takes them using it over and over and over to see the value in it, I think, which I wish I could say I've converted my teachers to Google Apps, but I think it's going to take removing Office from their computers for them to get it. So I don't know, productivity. It's made me so much more productive. So,
sure. And I continue to get attachments that are Word documents all the time. Chrome will open those without me having to download it. It'll open it. I'm pretty sure that's some other fancy thing that I've got built into my Gmail that it'll allow me to preview the documents. So that's another one of those things that, you know, I'd have to go back to. But if that didn't make any sense, any of the stuff that I said, then go to Twitter and at Kenya75 and say, I need help with what Jake said on your podcast about getting all of my documents into Google Drive.
And I know that
Kenya doesn't have enough stuff to do. So
so I'll give her something more.
Right.
Thank you.
Anyway, so that's my starting place. Now, there is... it's tough for me to stop there. Can you tell how tough it is for me to actually just stop there?
Yeah.
Because
I'm
not even going to mention just creating your documents from there.
Right.
And then sharing them so that you can allow all your students to work together. I will.
That's a whole nother podcast.
I will, though, because that's the next... So the step for other people who are using Google Documents... That is the one thing that I will say, is that whenever you are allowing students to collaborate on Google Docs or spreadsheets, which, again, if you're there in Drive, you just click on Create, and then you can create all of those things that all of the different Microsoft programs do. create Word documents. They're not Word documents. Create documents, spreadsheets, presentations, drawings like Microsoft Paint would do. What else? What am I missing? Forms.
Yeah, forms. Yeah.
Entire episode just about forms. Forms are amazing. You can create self-grading quizzes with forms and a very, very simple Google script. But not getting into that. So, but I will say, if you want them to work together on Google Documents, I've heard it said a lot, and most recently, Casey Bell wrote a post about it. Casey Bell is Shake Up Learning on Twitter. But she wrote a post where she mentioned how great an idea it is to create a blank document if you're going to allow students to share and add a table to it so that if they're working within the table, no one else can type over them.
Really?
They stay in that specific cell that they're assigned to, and so no one will be able to type over them.
How do you do that? That's interesting. I didn't know that.
It's a little difficult to type in the cell because it's spreadsheet. So
you're
typing in the you're not you, you know you're anyway.
You'll have to show me sometime.
Yeah, I think I've heard that said before, but I think that's a fantastic thing. I don't do it. I just let them fail. My kids all get together in a Google document. You see all of them, 30 of them at one time, all over the place, and somebody will just get in there and just hit backspace and delete everybody's stuff, and they'll get mad at each other, but I'll just go to the revision history and then fix it. But they have to get used to it, and I want them to – I'm setting them up for failure, and I'm sitting back and enjoying watching them complain to each other about it. So, 'cause we can fix it. But that's – how's that? I'm stopping.
That's awesome.
Google. Take all of your documents from your network folder, upload them, convert them to Google Documents, and never look back. Never even go back to that networked folder again. Yay. Thing two.
What's thing two, Jake?
It's just awkward pause because I wanted you to have to say that you don't have these notes, that we didn't create a Google Doc full of notes for you to be able to see.
We have a note, but it's just not a Google Doc. Wait, that's you're doing it wrong. We interrupt this program for an important you're doing it wrong.
Thing two.
Ready, go.
Thing two, I've got these couple of tools, and I would just pick one, and I'd pick Padlet. Padlet or Linowit, which are padlet.com and linowit.com. A lot of teachers use tickets out the door in their classroom, or they want students to all submit something to reflect on the day, or just to contribute something to vote, and we use sticky notes. Anything that we use sticky notes in class for, I think that you could use Padlet for in really any setting. And you don't have to have a login for it, but it is nice to create a login for just you as a teacher. But you just go to padlet.com and click on Start Your Wall. And you can go to the settings for your wall, which show up on the right side on a black bar. And you can allow anybody to tap two times to double-click on that screen, your wall, and they can add basically anything. They could add something as simple as a text for a reflection. They could add a video, images. You could have them all add images from their phones. If you wanted to go give them an assignment and have them all go take pictures of an octagon somewhere in the building, they could come back and they could add the image from that by just going to the site on their phone to do it, and then they would all show up in this one spot. So it's like a cork board or a place where you would a parking lot for professional development where you would put sticky notes. Those two tools, Padlet and Linowit, you can do a million things with. And you can customize them too. So you can even have students submit assignments that way. Instead of making it a sticky notes, you could make it to where it shows up basically as a scrolling list so that whenever one person submits something, then it's going to show up on top of the other person's. And I think that there are just a ridiculous amount of things. Do you use that, or what would you recommend using something like that for?
I like Padlet. We've used it a few times for staff meetings this year. We used it, when was that? What did we do? We did something at a PD thing for our ITS meetings. and we used Padlet. Oh, I remember what it was. We had watched, I think, part of Adam Bellow's keynote from ISTE last year.
Awesome.
I think that's, or no, maybe, no. It was one of his keynotes from some other conference. It was, I don't know what it was, but it was Adam Bellow. And I think it was a lot of like the slides where he does all the slides, you know. I think it was very similar to ISTE.
I bet it was the 140 EDU conference.
Yeah, I think it was. I think you're right. Yeah.
Where I think it was 15 minutes, and I think he did like a ridiculous number.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
I used that to add to a site whenever I applied to be a technology integration specialist at the service center. I basically said, here's everything I believe, and just gave them a link to Adam's 140 EDU speech.
Yeah, and then we had to write something on Padlet. We had to add our thoughts or whatever. I think it's good because I like it because you can see all the stuff collaboratively right there. People have to learn how to navigate it kind of so they're not writing on top of each other's stuff. Remember we used it when we did that hangout. We did a hangout where I talked to Jake's class about Honduras. And was that Linowit? Was that Padlet or Linowit?
They're so similar.
Right, okay.
Padlet has issues, I think, with crashing every now and then.
Okay, well, we used one of those corkboard things, and they wrote their questions on there, and it's good. I like being able to see what everyone's thoughts are. So I like Padlet. I really do. I don't probably use it enough. Maybe if I was in the regular classroom, maybe I'll do that with some of my teachers, you know, who aren't into their iPads yet. Really?
Yeah. I will say there are, so I would say to recommend to start doing that with anything that you would do with a ticket out the door or where you want students to give a reflection and just tell the thing that they learned that day, anything like that, I would use Padlet. And you can start playing around with the settings. So you could password protect the wall. You could give them access to edit other people's if you wanted to. I would turn that off. I recently used this. My students all created shields. We're talking about the Middle Ages, and so they've created their crests with their shields, and they use different tools to do that. So they just had to get the picture on their device, and we used Chromebooks for this one day, and we couldn't get the Chromebooks the next time, so we used iPads to finish it, which I have no problem with because this works with anything. So they were able to – I didn't let them edit them at first. I let them just be able to add their own, and they couldn't edit anyone else's. But I had them add the picture, and then they had to tell me a story as if they were a knight back in those times and tell me what it was like for them to become a knight. And they had to tell me what their life was like when they were a page, when they were a squire, their knighting ceremony. So they had to tell those stories, so they didn't finish them. They weren't able to finish them on the first day. But they were all able to add their pictures and start telling the story. So the next time I had to actually go back and allow them all access to completely modify anything on the wall. So I had to trust them enough not to go into someone else's and to delete it or to change any of the writing or anything like that. But that was when I had to have high gear classroom management to make sure, because they would have figured that out really quickly that they could. But they were all too worried to find their own to keep anyone else from messing up their own. So as soon as they were done with adding their stories, I went ahead and changed it to where they could no longer modify anyone else's. And so now in one spot, it looks like a blog where there are 180 different shields with the story where the kids, they looked up knight generators, knight name generators, so they chose their names that way from a different tool. They've done a lot of stuff. None of that, they didn't have to do that. They could have just put a picture of themselves. Then I would have made sure to lock it down so it was password protected. But basically, they could have put a picture of anything, a shield that they drew, and wrote a tiny little story, and that's all they needed to do. But I wanted to try and you know, give them the opportunity to do as much as they would like to do with it. And that worked out great. And we could have used other tools to do that, but it was just a fantastic way so that they could see each other's crests, they could read each other's stories, everybody could go see everybody's information and check it all out. So,
I really loved that. I never told you how much I loved that idea. I think we were talking about it one day on the way home, but I love that idea that, I mean, you're having kids write, you're having kids really think critically because they have to think about, like, what they would be doing if they were that in that place. And I think it's, you know, I think in the lower grades we use too many worksheets and junk like that, and I think activities like that where they're writing and they're having to think and put themselves in someone else's shoes, it's such a good activity. And I love that you can tie it in. I mean, you tie it into world cultures. It's like, okay, there we go. You know, we're making stuff. We're doing all these.
I did make them actually do that. That's always a goal of being a bilingual or ELL teacher, is that every day they need to be listening, speaking, reading, and writing.
Right, right.
So having everyone else's already there, they're able to read each other's to draw from and get inspiration from. But I required them to actually have some discussions about each part as they were doing it, and that worked out really well. I thought they always could have been better, but they're limited on time and they don't have access at home. So
yeah,
I was really happy with that. So Padlet, Linowit, either one of those two tools, you can do. You can do so much with. The potential is there. I would create a teacher account. No students will ever need to create accounts, but that way your walls are always going to be saved for you, and you won't have to remember a link to be able to go back and see them. So it's also pretty easy for them to get to. I'm getting you sleepy already.
Well, it's later than...
It's later. It is later.
Usual.
I hope everybody, like, I hope that our both of our viewers...
our listeners,
we're putting these people back to sleep.
Our two listeners that listen to our podcast, you mean?
It's us, yeah. We go listen to ourselves. Next thing, I did a presentation on digital storytelling tools. I actually sort of refused to do a presentation on digital storytelling tools at TCEA.
Because you're cutting
instead just talk about it. Well, we had the conversation in the podcast. I left a podcast during the middle of it to go, and we talked about this before, but to go do my presentation, where I had a presentation about, you know, 40 tools for digital storytelling. Quit doing that.
I'm sorry.
All right, that's motivating. How excited could I be for tools like Voki, or that's VOKI.com, or something like apps for Apple, if you have access to those, Yakit, Chatterpix, Telegami. These are very, very, very simple tools for students to basically have a talking avatar of some sort. It could be a picture of them. It could be an inanimate object. With Voki.com, it will give you... There is a paid version. You don't have to use it. You don't need a login. Just keep saying no thanks whenever you're trying to publish. But this one's great for bilingual students, for all languages, because you can have it speak in that language with that accent. So basically, students can use the microphone to record their 60 seconds, anything that they would like to say. So they could record a reflection. They could record a very short story, any little interesting fact. You could do really just about anything with this. I think the first thing I usually have teachers do is to create something for their school webpage where it's an avatar of them, and they just introduce themselves and say something about themselves and put it on their webpage.
That would be really cool. That's a really cool idea. I like that.
So that just gives them the idea, but, I mean, students can use it with anything. There are historical characters on it. There's also a couple characters. There are a few that you would not want them to use. There's a devil on there. But basically, I mean, it doesn't really matter what the character is that's talking with Voki. They could still say, even if it randomly generates you a talking hot dog, then that talking hot dog can explain about anything. I mean, it doesn't really matter. That's just not the point. And that's what I really stressed during my digital storytelling session, is that none of this, you shouldn't have to spend time, somebody else should have to spend time teaching them how to use some kinds of tools.
Right.
In my class, we're doing world cultures. You're going to make that talking hot dog tell me about Buddha. I mean, Buddha's actually a character on there. But whatever it is, they can explain that to me. They can tell me about a knight from the Middle Ages. It doesn't have to be a knight who's telling me that. So they could type in the information. You could even call their phone if they don't have access to it through there. If they didn't want to type it, or you could use the microphone on the device that you've got. This one doesn't work well with iPads, but the other three that are super awesome iPad apps are all free. And so any of those are great ways to get students creating something that they could just share a link for. They could add the link to a Padlet, and you could just click on the links on the Padlet. Really, you could add the links all to a Google form. And you could get your students to submit these to you in really just about any way. So the only thing that you couldn't do with Fokey is you couldn't download these videos. Yeah. You're publishing them. So you just need to get a link and get that link to you somehow. But they're creating something, and it's really cool stuff. So ChatterPix and Yakit and the other one that we said was Telegami. Those three, all free. You're limited on time, which is good. They're not going to go on and on and on like I kind of am doing right now and putting Kenya to sleep during our podcast. But wonderful, fantastic free tools. And Telegami was actually created by the people who made Extra Normal a while back.
Really?
Yeah, it's the same people.
Loved Extra Normal.
Yeah, well, that one wasn't free. So Telegami's free. I don't know how they couldn't make money with Extra Normal, so now they're going to give you the free Telegami app, and they're going to make money with that.
Can I tell you something about ChatterPix?
Yes.
You said it's only 30 seconds?
Did I say ChatterPix was only 30 seconds?
I thought before we went on air, I thought you said ChatterPix was...
No, I don't think any of them are less than 60. I think Voki is the least with 60.
Okay, but you might be able to... One of my teachers did a project for our showcase, our iCreate showcase, and she used ChatterPix. I had shown her it, and they had been researching Harriet Tubman, so they used Harriet Tubman as their picture or their avatar or whatever. And they wrote the research, and they researched different areas of her lives, like her early childhood and all the different parts of her life. And then they recorded it. So I'm really excited about seeing that they did, because I kind of had helped her plan it out. But I think, I don't want to say for sure, but I have a feeling that you can drop like several ChatterPix possibly in a iMovie, like if you wanted to make it longer. I think that she might have done that. I don't know. I thought one of my teachers was telling me they took and exported, because you can export ChatterPix to the camera roll, and then they just combined them in an iMovie. So if you want to make it longer, that's a thought, possibly.
I'm pretty sure that with all three of those, with Yakit, ChatterPix, and Telegami, you can download them to camera roll, and then you'd be able to put them in iMovie if you wanted to.
Well, so that's the solution then, right? Since they can only go...
And I guess we should say that those three, and if you have an iPad, those all work on, all three of those work on iPhone, iPod, iPad, not just iPads. So you can take any picture that you'd like. So they can go to a website and take the picture, download, save an image as that. So they could take the picture of Harriet Tubman.
Right.
And make that talk. The difference, I think, Yakit allows you to have multiple scenes, and you can have different characters. You can have two people's mouths moving and talking within one scene, and you can have multiple scenes in that one, too.
Yeah, we use this thing called NetTracker. I don't know if you guys use it, but it's to get copyright or fair use or whatever pictures, so... That's what we use in our district, NetTracker.
No, I hadn't ever, but now that... We met some people at Region 6 last year, and they're working with Region 6 there too. But now Google Images, whenever you do a Google image search, you can sort by and you could do that in Google Docs. You would never have to leave the Google Doc and be able to sort them by allow them to be reusable images or not. But now Google actually from the Google site lets you do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are, love all of those things. All of those things are amazing, and that kids can do anything with them. So, I mean, I guess we could talk about all of the different things you could do. If you're an art teacher, then you could have them look up famous painters, and they could be Renoir, and they could find a picture of him or a painting of his and make the painting talk. Make right. anything talk. But wonderful, wonderful stuff. Yeah, there's no end to what you could do with those things.
Make anything talk.
Yeah, Telegami is another one of the avatars that you're very limited in your options, but you can make the background be anywhere. Mm-hmm. So you can use your own image or any image that you'd like to use as the background, and then you can have just that character explaining whatever's in the story. You can make them bigger or smaller, change the angles of them. My kids loved that the first time they got to use it. We haven't really used it, but a couple times. We've used it 3 times total this year, but they love that. Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
That was thing 3. Voki, Yakit, Chatterpix, Telegami. I know that's 4 things, but they're all wonderful. So, any of them. And Yakit is the animal, Yakit. For kids, don't get the adult version. You'll probably find some very interesting ones, but don't get the adult version. The last one, or last couple sort of things together, thing 4.
Again, about 2 years, well, since I started using it a couple years ago, it's changed a lot. They've added, the ability to blur certain things, which I've used Sketch when I've, sometimes I've modified pictures in something else or photo edited them and then had to go back and blur, a student name or something like that. But it does so much more than that. You can highlight on it. You can draw arrows. You can type text. You can just draw. I think you can just draw, right? I think I don't remember. But anyway, you can do all sorts of stuff. And, one of the first projects we ever did with my class was a geometry hunt thing. And I think someone on Twitter had told me about, I don't know if they told me about Sketch. I think I must have learned about Sketch from Matt Gomez or someone like that. And we took pictures around the school, and then we opened them in Sketch and drew the picture or highlighted the shape of the thing that it was. If it was a rectangle, they drew on the screen and showed that it was a rectangle, and then they took text and they wrote the word rectangle. And then they ended up putting it in a haiku deck or something like that to show it, to present it. But it's just such an easy thing. I know Matt Gomez does with his kids with Sketch, his kindergartners. He'll take coloring pages that he finds, and he has them label them with simple words. He had one of Winnie the Pooh, and they had to draw they would draw arrows, and then they would write with the text bug, the simple words that they knew. So it's just, I think that people don't always think about the educational purpose of things, but that's something where there could be a huge number of things you could do with it. You just have to get creative and think outside the box. So,
sure. I don't know why. Well, I don't have any idea why the water table, the whole water cycle thing is what popped into my head, because that's a really limited use that you would just label diagrams that already exist.
Right,
or just
right.
Take a good picture and then have students actually label them.
Right.
That's something.
Right,
you know?
Right.
That sure beats doing it on paper. I mean,
well, yeah, and that's the whole
thing. It takes away anything that you would do on paper, and we don't want to recommend giving, screenshot, taking a picture of a worksheet, and then
right.
having everybody go fill the worksheet out on Sketch instead, but you can do that. I mean, you could absolutely do something right.
Right. And, obviously it's lower level, but it's sometimes you end up doing lower level stuff just to get to the higher level stuff, but they could also take it and record it in something else. They could record over it and talk about it. So,
right. And it syncs with you could have all your students within a Dropbox folder or something like that if you wanted to also, or
Evernote. It syncs with Evernote, Sketch.
Yeah, I mean it works with just about everything, so really whatever you're doing now. Whatever,
but it's hooked with Evernote though, right? It's the same company as Evernote?
Sketch?
Yeah.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I think
Evernote owns everything now, don't they?
Evernote owns all the things.
Yeah. And I'm fessing up to not using Evernote.
I don't use it a whole bunch, but I've used it recently with teachers. Yeah, and I'm sure it does sync with Evernote because last year I had to sign up for an Evernote account when I was on Sketch, and that's how I knew they were connected.
Yeah. So. Well, then maybe it doesn't sync with Dropbox anymore then?
I don't know. I haven't used Sketch to save stuff lately. I haven't used it lately.
So, yeah, we said you could draw on it. We said you could add text. You said it gives you objects that you could add, arrows, things to be able to point to individual things. So, even just anything. I mean, you could use that for, again, it's unlimited, the things that you could
right,
do.
Right,
right. I gave an example of a really old tool here in my notes. I said Twiddla. Twiddla is Twiddla, twiddla.com. And this lets you annotate things, anything. This is, now, it's there's a charge associated with it, I suppose. But you can create, you can go to the site and click on the green button that says start your free collaboration space. And there's a place for people to be able to chat with each other. You could actually do an audio chat with it. I've never needed to use that. But you can load a web page, and anybody who's at that site, who's on the Twiddla page, can annotate, can highlight, draw on the web page. You can work together instead of being all doing things separately. You could all be in the same workspace collaborating on really whatever it is. So you could upload your own pictures to it so that you could, yeah. It's just a collaborative workspace. And it's a really old tool, but it works. And there is a charge that's associated with it, so if you wanted to save that page and leave all of your editing, the stuff that you've done to it, then you could create the login for the 30 days for it just to use it for that amount of time. You can always take pictures of things using your screenshot tools. maybe not necessarily with Twiddla, not recommending just taking pictures of everything you do. Okay, all right, I am. I'm screenshot everything that you need to keep for you, for your educational purposes. But it's a handy tool. There are so many tools out there that do things like that, but any type of tool where your students can all write collaboratively, draw collaboratively, Google Docs does all those things. You could do most of that with Google Docs, but it just gives you more options. And so you can have students chat and talk about things in the chat as well, but that will go away. But if it goes away, that's fine. you're still having them work collaboratively and they're getting together. They're just not able, they're not creating something. They're just taking away from it whatever it is that they're learning. So if they're reading an article, then they can all read the article and highlight words that they need to look up. So they can all try to claim the same word, and then it will just color over with whichever different colors they have, and then we can go look those words up someplace else. Really, just a lot of things you can do. It introduces students to collaborating, to working together.
Right, right.
So the last one that we put down here is EduCreations. You want to talk about EduCreations?
I would love to talk about EduCreations. This is another one of my favorite things that's free. I would say, like, it's probably on my top 10 list, or maybe top 20. Top 10, top 20 lists of free apps that I would put on an iPad, that I have put on our iPads at school, because number one, it's free. Number two, you can create all sorts of stuff with it. You can do screencasts with it where you're writing and recording over it. I used it a lot last year when I was really just starting off with iPads, where I would work with a small group and I would use that as my whiteboard, and if I had enough iPads I would use it with the kids as their whiteboard, which we're talking, a lot of these things we're talking about are just substitution right now, like a lot of these apps or whatever, but you can use it for that, and kids, the cool thing is kids can talk about it. I mean, they can write word problems or explain things that they're doing, and they can record it and they can save it, so you can understand kind of what they're thinking. So, I mean, it is different than paper and pencil in that way, you know, but
Oh yeah, well I mean it's a video they're making.
Right.
You could give them a picture of the math problem, any math problem. Again, this is that would be lower level. But really, I read an article a while back about the difference about, you know, Finland, the European schools, and really what are they doing that's so wonderful? And that's it. They're allowing students to explain their thinking and it records them as videos. So if it's a simple math problem, a word problem that you'd give them, then they explain their thoughts for working it out, and they can start and stop, right?
Right.
So they're allowed to pause while they're working on the video, or they could draw and then record. So you can use any background, or you could use no background. Any picture that they'd like to get and use, they could use that. Again, when we gave the example of the water cycle, we can't get over that. How about the rock cycle? So you're doing the rock cycle instead. I'm substituting the rock cycle. So I mean, they could walk through and they could label the steps of it, and then they could pause, erase it, and continue to do the next thing. But it allows them to speak. And for me, as a teacher of English language learners and the bilingual students, I need them speaking. I need to give them a reason to practice speaking. So. That's difficult in class. We talk about that a lot, but they can. We talked about the whole booth, the recording booth type of thing.
Right,
but
right.
It does not matter how much noise is in this class if you can still hear them, so they can just be talking really close to their iPad. Whatever background noise. This is not for students to be publishing videos to put up on YouTube to go get a million views. That's not what these are for. It's about them expressing what they know, and it gives you the best feedback. It's the best kind of assessment. it's formative assessment. We know exactly what they're thinking, and it gives us that insight that we wouldn't have otherwise by just looking at a math problem they have on a sheet of paper. So
awesome.
So much. Oh, I should say, well, it is the iPad app, the iPad app, not for iOS. But it's also a web version, and if you'd like to, you can create an account, and you can have your kids create your accounts through yours. So you can create your classes online, and then all of your students are all associated with your classes. I think at one point I didn't even do that. I just let my kids, that was last year, a couple years ago, I just let my kids all use my login. So
right.
I just saw all the ones they created whenever I logged in instead of even creating classes. So you can use as much as or as little as you want to, but these are that's our four. Yay!
Yay!
I think that those really that you don't need to get started. That's an awful lot, and you can just take any one of those things, and your kids will be creating all of the things that I'm trying to get my students to do, trying to get them to work together in many ways, to collaborate. I'm trying to get them to create things, whatever they are. If it's just a short little video animation, then that's wonderful. It's a great start. And then once they're able to become proficient at any of these things, then you can move up to the different, you can swim in the deeper end of the pool. You can start wading out a little bit more and seeing what you're able to do and what your kids are able to do. But this, I think those things are a great foundation, a great place to start. And, you know, for me, I use those things all the time. I love those things.
Definitely a good place to start. I mean, and I think people need to understand, too, that when you start there, you'll get to the deeper things. It might take a few months, it might take a year, you know, but you'll get there eventually. And you'll get comfortable with using certain tools, and your kids will be using them, and it'll just get, I think it just gets easier and easier, you know. Your kids teach you the tools. Once you give them a tool or an app, they learn it. You don't really have to teach them, like we've talked about, so.
I wish that. I hear that a lot. I'm not arguing that, but I hear so often that the whole thing about the kids have never asked for professional development, for learning how to use tools to be able to do it, and boy, they ask me for some professional development a lot. Like, these things are foreign, but like you said, the more you do them
right.
once, you do them twice. And the big thing for me is you're keeping the focus on your content. It's not about the fun and games.
Yeah.
It's about what are we learning? You're demonstrating your knowledge.
Right.
So
right.
Your outlet. This is the way for me to assess you.
Right. Yep.
Yay.
Exactly. My motivation/inspiration is this, that I think we're getting into the part of the year, you know, testing season is upon us and things are starting to get real stressful. I think my motivation is just to keep focus on the kids, keep focus on why you're a teacher, and it's about the kids. I think when you think back to that, then it's a lot easier to do the things that you're doing even when they're hard, because it's about the kids and that's what it's about. So the end.
I wasn't yawning. No, you're absolutely right.
You can yawn. I don't care.
You're always right. I love that these are on point, and I always take something away. Like, I think about it the next day. Whenever we do something,
Really?
We're together and do a podcast, the next day, like tomorrow, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to think about my kids.
Awesome. I like that. You're taking what you learn back to the classroom. That's awesome.
No. Well, I sometimes I get too engrossed in, I really need them to make sure that they learn this thing. And
right.
I don't really take into account. And I need those reminders. Todd gives me reminders like that a lot, that
it's about the kids.
I know my kids are facing lots of things because they tell me about it. And
right.
Once they start, you know, telling you more and more about it, then it's easier to think about that and to keep that in mind. But we're so driven by those tests put so much pressure on us as teachers. Mm-hmm. And you, that's what you're thinking about.
I know.
It's tough, but try to, you know how I feel about the tests.
Right.
Probably make that pretty clear.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I'm being mean, Kenya.
You're not being mean. I'm good. I'm not mad, even though I was yawning.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for joining us, guys. We had a great time. We hope you enjoyed our show.
Right. Don't forget to check us out at cuttingeducation.com. Follow us on Twitter, cuttingedgu. We're on iTunes. That's bit.ly. cuttingedgu. Anywhere else that I'm forgetting? Google+. Thanks again so much for watching or listening. It's time to go forth
and learn.